You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Thursday, joining me, first time in a few days, is Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up? How you doing?
I was doing fine until I came down to JRB Fort Worth.
JRC?
You know what I tell you? Every time I'm reminded of the time in the military. Now, the time in the military, time with the guys, everything else, greatest time in the world, right? Perfect. Everything was wonderful. You know, laughing, ha ha. It's just, then when you have to deal with the bureaucracy and the stupid side of the military.
Right.
That is what's horrible. Right?
Does that make you unhappy?
It makes me tremendously unhappy. Because this is one of those things that, you know, okay, so the commanding officer of NAS Joint Readiness Base Fort Worth is the Navy 06, okay?
Yes.
And his executive officer, his pitcher, he's an 05. And they got a command master chief, you know, all nine yards. They got Air Force guys here. They got Marines here. This is one of those, give it to him, look at him in the eyes, sit him down and say, Steve, Bob, Jim, whatever your first name is, you have 1 year to make this better, to improve this. And this doesn't mean that if they average 14 a day, you do 15 a day. This is, if they do 15 a day, in 1 week you're doing 30, the next week you're doing 45. Then it's so on and so forth until this point where they're waiting for customers to walk through the door because they're so quick, once they walk in, they're jumping on top of the ball of, oh, come right over here, sir. We'll take care of you. Oh, go over here, ma'am. Right?
Yes.
Because it's not hard. We're not putting people in orbit. We're not putting a rover on a planet to take samples and to put it back to Earth. We're
not asking you to even canoe to the moon.
You can't. That's impossible. Right. That's the impossible side. And see, now they close for lunch.
They close for lunch?
Oh, no. They better not be. Okay. So, yeah.
I was going to say.
This is the kick on the dog's back that you can never get rid of.
Right.
Civilian employees in the military.
In the federal government.
Doesn't matter.
In the federal government.
Doesn't matter.
They just tried to fire that dude at the VA. And he filed some kind of suit. And they had that big bill signing that we can get rid of these guys now, and they can't get rid of him. He's still working someplace in the D.C. area.
Yeah, you can't. And, you know, it doesn't matter how great the F-22 is or the F-35 or how many destroyers or battleships or aircraft carriers you have, because we're as good as our weakest link. And this is it. I'm looking right at it. This is the finest military in the world. This is how it works. This is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, there's two Marines here, two T-4 Officer 4s. One's an NBC guy, worked at the MAG down here on that takes care of the squadrons. And the other guy is the admin, the perso. And they're going to spend their entire day down here waiting for an ID, because to make an appointment is 6 months out. 6 months for an ID card, Mac.
That's crazy.
I mean, so if it's that complicated, if someone's telling me to get an ID card in the military today, it's so complicated, then you know what? We got a problem, boys and girls.
Yeah.
If all we're talking about is an ID card, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. So, look, you all you people need to go home. Let me hire about a dozen people, and I will turn this thing into something that you've never even seen in your life before. Okay? It'll be friendly. Mm-hmm. We'll work. We'll get stuff done. It'll be awesome.
Or you know, that little magnetic strip on your driver's license? I'll transfer all the information to your driver's license. So you don't even need an ID card. You just need a driver's license because all the information on there is what it is. And then when you get out, you hit a button, and it's gone. So there's no more information on there. I mean, this is just, again, I don't care when I hear this whole, oh, we're the greatest in the world because of, look at us. Look at our military. Look at our economic situation. We're the greatest superpower to ever exist. No, we're not. Look at us. If you could see this, see. This is as good as the government gets right here. This is the process. And it boggles my mind. Again, I don't care how many intercontinental ballistic missiles we can shoot down. I don't care how good we are at cybercom or how good it is. This is it.
This is
that weird uncle you don't want your friends to see.
We suck at cybercom.
That's your family, buddy. Suck it up.
Yeah, no. No, it's a, what do you do? What do you do? You just sit there and, you sit there and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is we will be done by 3 p.m. today. So get here at 7. And if you get in here at a certain time, they have to serve you. So by 3, because that's when they get out of here, we will be done.
They get out? They leave at 3?
Yeah.
You were just a walk-in. You were just a walk-in, right?
Yeah, because this is a, you know, her ID card expired and she's got insurance, so we can't wait 30 days.
Right.
Right. You know, if she gets sick tomorrow, if she gets hurt tomorrow, then what? She's got no health coverage. You know, and so why do they delete the health coverage? Because they're not smart enough to ask the right questions, so they're... They put on there an expiration date when she turns 21. They have to say, hey, are you in college? Yeah. Oh, okay. Can you prove it? Oh, yeah, right here. Here's my college acceptance letter. It's going to support your program. Okay, so put it out 4 years. Oh, no, we can't do that. What if she's not a college student for one of those months or the last month of it, and then she's getting health care out the government? Who cares? I mean, really, I mean, you think your program, the way you do it now, solves that problem?
Okay.
If you think that's the truth, then you need to put your head on the railroad track and wait.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about this. Can we change the subject?
Yeah.
All right. How was your vacation?
We're not going. No, we can't do that. Can't go back to the happy place.
We're done.
Happy place was ruined this morning when I got to this place.
Come on.
I'm just thankful I'm not in uniform right now.
Why? Because you'd be lighting it up?
I'd have these civilians out front in a formation.
Do you
don't think I would?
Do you know who I am? Do you know who the fuck I am?
Who I am?
Would you roll that on him today?
No, not yet.
Not yet? You're not there?
I got a scraggly beard going because I didn't shave when I was up in the cabin.
Yeah, you can't be doing that then. How was your vacation? Did you just go and hang out at the Wisconsin place?
Let's go through this. Let me give you a good recap, okay?
Was your brother there?
All right, so, no. So here's the recap. We drive up. One thing that concerns me is Iowa.
Yes.
I'm really concerned about Iowa. You know, okay, not so much of the foliage and everything else. The guy called and said, hey, the farmers cut the trees down. And yeah, okay, I understand
right.
that.
Right.
But another thing that concerns me, going through the whole state, I never saw a good-looking girl. They were all threes and fours. So everybody. So I'm kind of like, Where did all this, where did, why is there only fours here? Then it dawns on me. The ones that are, you know, up in the scales, the eights, the seven and eights, they're either transplants, they moved there, or their parents came from something other than, you know, so they're from like, their parents from Missouri or California, and then they had a kid, and now that person's seven. But it was just this, you've got to be kidding me. Everybody here.
You weren't in Iowa very long.
I'm very observant.
Do you know what Iowa stands for?
Yeah, I used to know that. I know. It's like a Minnesota joke.
Yeah, idiots out wandering around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from Sergeant Major Zickfuth. Yeah, he gave me that one. So you get through Iowa.
Yeah.
You get through Iowa. How was the lake? Was the lake a good time?
It was good. It was cold. It was chilly compared to, you know, temperatures down here. You know, it was like in the, it was 60-something degrees and I got a jacket on. it was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Well, it was a good time. It was relaxing. I went canoeing, went kayaking, went on the boat, tried to do some fishing, but the fish weren't cooperating.
Really?
Yeah.
That's because there was.
Fish didn't know that they had a stake in the game too. That they had to actually play.
Yeah, those are Wisconsin fish, man. They're clueless. Minnesota fish, they know how to play the game. They get on the hook.
Right.
Wisconsin, right. Come on, they got rights. They got rights. Okay, so you're up there, and who's all at the lake? Is it your dad?
Daughter, my dad.
You, your daughter, and your dad. That's just the three of you.
Yeah.
But why didn't Chris show up?
They were doing the vacation on their own. They were somewhere on the Utah, Washington area, like Idaho. Headed up there.
Got it. When did she want to come back on the radio? Is she fired up to come back on?
We didn't talk about it.
You didn't talk about it? All right.
No. All right. I was on vacation.
Here's a little, I just found this out yesterday. Youngest American killed in Vietnam was a Marine PFC. How old do you think he was?
17.
15.
How in the world did a 15-year-old get in there?
You were a recruiter. Hello?
Yeah. I wasn't that kind of recruiter.
First of all, he does not look like he's 15. I mean, he easily looked like he's
right.
In his 20s. His name is Dan Bullock, born in Goldsboro, North Carolina, lived there till he was 12 when his mother passed away. He and his younger sister, Gloria, moved to Brooklyn, to live with his father and his father's wife. He wanted to become a pilot, a police officer, or a United States Marine. When he was 14.
Don't take this the wrong way. Why am I getting this Jeopardy information right now?
Because you need to know. It's a good piece of trivia.
No, this is Jeopardy.
No, you
Jeopardy.
You asked how a kid signs up for the Marine Corps.
You set me up for it.
I think it's interesting. When he was 14,
it's called Jeopardy.
He altered the birth certificate. To show he was born 10 years earlier. And then he processed through processed through the recruiting station, enlisted in the Marine Corps in September of 1968. In Vietnam, he was with Fox Company 2-5. Got to Vietnam in May, was killed in June of 1969. 15 years old. Is that amazing?
Wow.
He was on his way.
That went on. 3 minutes longer than it should have.
On his way to getting an ammunition resupply in An Ho. Another question for you. The Marine Corps. I know you're being a jackass. Marine Corps is requesting 50,000 more M27 infantry automatic rifles from Heckler and Koch.
Can't do it unless they change the law.
Marine Corps Commandant Robert Neller said earlier this year that he wants the rifle in the hands of every O-311 rifleman in the Marine Corps. Marines began fielding 4,000 M27 IARs in 2010 to replace a squad automatic weapon, but officials decided Marines needed both rifles, so the 5.56 M27 has been phased in to replace the M4, which is based on more than half century old M16 platform. So what do you mean they have to change the law?
The acquisition and contracting law that went into effect for the M27, the IAR, was because of how it was awarded and everything else. It could never recompete. HK could never have done, we could never get more guns from them. And that was, again, find those KOs, those contracting officers, those program managers, all those guys up at Headquarters Marine Corps, put them in line and see how deep the bullet goes. Because that was just poor people. There was people working on programs that didn't believe in them, that think that they knew better. I'll do this because I was being told, but I think this is the wrong direction and the wrong thing. And so, I hate to be the guy, but I told you so. I mean, Jeff Eby, a lot of us gunners are at times, and General Amos said the same thing, like, hey, why can't I have this for everybody? And people kind of did the, oh, General, ha, 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 you know, and we kind of took that as, hey, that's kind of serious, and all the other guys, colonels and stuff, were like, no, that's just being the general, you know, saying, oh, I wish the walls were white, ha, 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 ha. You know, no, that's, if the general says, I wish the walls were white, then guess what, boys, you're breaking out your paintbrushes. So now we're at this point where we realize that the gun we have is not the gun we need. We have a problem, and we see it. And this is, Will and I talked about this on the show,
right,
you know, ad nauseum back in the day, of the pains that we went through trying to convince people. You know, you have a drinking problem. I don't have a drinking problem. You do. You know, please, look at yourself in the mirror. I am looking at myself right in the mirror. You got a drinking problem. You know, and the person on the other side is, what are you talking about? And so we went through that whole game, and now we're at this, and I'm not surprised. I really am. But I think unless the commandant's got more WASTA than I knew, think he has, he can't change that law. And that's a done deal, man. It's a door that's shut. Now they're going to go back and recompete, and they're going to end up with something. Hopefully they end up with something good, but they're not going to end with an M27, an HK416. That was a one-time shot, man, and we had the opportunity. We could have got one for everybody. But
What makes it better than the M4? The cost is three times. Oh. The cost is three times the M4. $3,000 a copy, vice $1,000 a copy. So walk us through what makes it better.
Every component on that gun. This is the analogy of comparing. You want to break into NASCAR, okay, Mac?
Okay.
Right.
Right.
And so what you want to do is you want to do it on the cheap. But you still want to place. You want to still come in, you know, in the top 10. Mac has to go out and buy a car. So you look at the sticker price of the NASCAR, you know, and with all the souped up engines and everything else, and
right,
the bodies and the frames,
right,
and you're like, whoa, I don't need to spend $3 million for a car and to go around the racetrack. Hell, my Toyota Corolla can do that, you know? So you put better tires on your Toyota Corolla, and you put an additive in the fuel, and you change the spark plugs, and you squeeze out 6 more horsepower, and you get on the track, and it goes around the track better than it would have before, and you're like, hey, see, it did it. And then the race starts, and before you even get around the first turn, you're lapped 3 times. And you're wondering what just happened. So we had a gun that was good enough. All it was required to do is shoot paper at 200, 300, 500 meters, right?
Yes.
That's it. That was the requirement. Because if it had a combat requirement, it had a real requirement to engage the enemy at X amount of distance, to put the enemy down after firing this many bullets or anything like that, then then we wouldn't have the gun we have today. We'd have something that was, you know, would be killing people. So that gun that we have today that's sitting in the armory, that's a great gun. If your measure of, your unit of measurement is those badges that you buy at the PX, then it's a great gun. It serves every purpose. Don't change it. Move on. Looks good in the parade. You know, you can drill with it with no problem. You know, all of that stuff. You know, the biggest headache for having the rifle combat optic, the RCO, was we had to put a bunch of first sergeant to work to rewrite the, you know, the drill manual to include having an optic on there. But they figured it out. They got it. Just like they did when we transitioned from the 1913 to the M1, the M1 to the M14, the M14 to the M16, and so on and so forth. And then from there to the rail gun in the future. We'll still drill with some laser rail gun. But they'll figure it out. But the problem is, those competing interests had a bigger voice than the combat utility of the weapon system. The bigger voice was, how are you going to drill with this? Where are you going to store it? It doesn't fit in the ammo rack. It can't go through the window the way it's configured. Oh, they'll lose that. You put too much stuff on that, they're going to end up losing it anyway. So these were the competing factors that weren't in the actual org for the weapon system, that didn't matter, because those were real-life situations. Where this thing goes, how it fits, how heavy is it, can you drill with it, can it go here, can it go there, I have to buy new boxes to put it in. I mean, once you silence all of that bullshit, then you get better stuff. You know, remember, hey, what happened when, what was one of the biggest problems we had when it came to, vehicles? So when we were going to look at mecking up, entire battalions with either MRAPs or, Humvees, the whole nine yards. What was the biggest complaint? Do you remember?
I don't.
It was, where are we going to park these things? Is this a trick question? On the freaking ground. What do you mean? Where are we going to park them? Well, no, Gunner, I'm not being a dumbass. Yeah, actually you are, but okay, so go ahead. I'll continue this line of question. Where are we going to park them? Build a freaking tactical parking ramp. You know those parking ramps you park your car and you go to the mall? Build one for tactical vehicles.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great idea?
All you need is
the same amount of footprint of square real estate, but then go vertical and put 10 times the amount of vehicles in it. A tactical vehicle parking lot.
Oh, you mean
wow,
a,
I think I'm onto something.
You mean a ramp, right?
Yeah, that goes up in the sky.
Right. Multi-floor.
You know those inventions? Yeah. Have you ever seen those inventions?
The civilians
came up with them.
I parked in that one.
Yeah. But see, to talk like that in the military, you're talking like, what? What is this thing you speak of? This thing that you call a vertical parking space. Right?
Right.
So these are the competing things, and that was the argument that I had to fight. What? Where am I going to park them? Give a shit where I'm parking them. I'm parking them in your ass. So, you know, it's just like, that's what the gun's going to face. And then so on and so forth. Everything faces that. Everything. If you can get rid of the white noise, smooth sailing, brother. And that's General Miller's biggest competition right now. Get rid of the white noise. Because last thing I knew was that the Commandant looked at all of his buddies sitting at the big table up there at the Pentagon, right?
Right.
They looked at each one of them in the eye, and he said, listen, by September 1st, I want a new gun in every infantryman's hand. The first guy speaks gets fired. Right? Because that's the guy that's going to give you the, oh, whoa, me, dear general, oh, wish impossible. That's where you slide the gun across the table with one bullet in it. Take this soldier way out, buddy.
Do the right thing right now
in front of these witnesses. We'll all say nice things in front of your your family, but do the right thing right now, you coward. You know, my question would be, do you want them the same color, General?
Exactly.
That would be my question.
What colors would you like?
Yeah. Is there a color palette you had in mind?
Yeah, and then the next thing...
That would be my only question.
And then as soon as somebody says, okay, what's the next item of business, you stand up and say, there is none, boys. Everybody out, we're done. Let's go.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that's going to happen here...
We can OTT this, or we can just go do it.
Yeah, and look, we don't want him changing. We don't want him changing his mind. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting if that's the case. If that's the letter steer that they're getting from the boss, then you're gonna get the guys. You got your eclectic guys that'll sit in this little group that'll be there. The whiners. You know, I always call them the whiners. Wow, it's gonna be hot out. It's the holiday season. It's over a weekend. It's baptism's weekend. It's baptism season.
It's for the troops.
Yeah.
It's for the troops.
Yeah. And they try and think of every little. But the least term is migrating during that time.
Oh my God. He's not joking either. You sit there and you just look across the table. You're like, what?
Yeah. You have all these people. My question's always, okay, hey, Gary, tell me where the least turned nests. Oh, simple. It's on the, wait, why? Because I'm going to go eradicate them. So we never have this problem again.
You can't.
I'm kill every single one of them.
The gunner back from vacation, if you can't tell. You can tell he's all relaxed and fresh. The, all right, let me, I'm, there's.
Yeah, this ID card thing made this.
The, 10 things you should know about the new GI Bill. Okay, I'm gonna read them, and you tell me if you think it's a good idea or a bad idea. Okay.
Okay, go.
Previously, veterans had to use their post 9/11 GI Bill within 15 years of their last 90-day period of active duty service. That requirement is going away. Good idea, bad idea.
No, I mean, why should there be a time limit on?
I agree with you.
Now, I could go either way. I could say, well, if you're a veteran that doesn't know what the hell you're doing, then you got a problem. But, no, I mean, there's some people that just, you know, they got some things going on in their lives they can't get to right away. It takes them a different direction, and eventually some things calm down. There's some calm, spike water. And now it's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of that. Oh, sorry, you lost it.
No, unlimited time. It's a benefit. It's
good. Why? What's the big deal?
Because maybe you're busy for 15 years and now you want to go to school.
The government's concern is you got to, because they hired a bean counter.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
That counts that bean.
I don't care.
That's his bean.
I don't care. All I care about is me. I want to use it when I want to use it, and I don't want to hear, oh, sorry, if you'd have got here last month, you could have used it, but you can't use it anymore. Oh, really? You got a car out in the parking lot? Yeah, it's a nice blue one over here.
I see you using the same air as I am. I'm just going to extinguish your light.
The email, Gunner Get Real, vertical parking lot. Now we have to train another MOS in the 3500 motor transportation field.
But you know what? At least those guys can transition to a real job when they get out. They're called valet.
There you go. Actually, two birds with one stone. I like that. Purple Heart recipients will get more benefits.
What did you do in the Marine Corps? I valet parked tactical vehicles for 22 years. You're hired, son.
Wow. Listen to this. If you receive the Purple Heart, you'll get more benefits. The new GI Bill allows anyone who has received the Purple Heart after September 11, 2001 to receive 100% of the benefits offered under the post 9/11 GI Bill, which includes coverage of tuition costs at public schools in-state rate for 36 months and stipend for textbooks and housing. Previously, Purple Heart recipients were beholden to the same time and service qualifications for the GI Bill as other service members. This meant Purple Heart recipients without a service-connected disability who did not reach 36 months of service were only eligible for a percentage of the benefit and not the full amount. What a bullshit. Yeah. That's a good one, yes?
That's a great one. Why didn't that happen before?
I don't know. More people are number three. The Yellow Ribbon Program is a voluntary agreement between schools and the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs to split school costs not covered by the GI Bill, reducing or eliminating the amount students must pay themselves. The Forever GI Bill will expand eligibility for this program to surviving spouses or children of service members in August of 2018 and active duty service members in August 22. Previously, only veterans eligible for GI Bill benefits up to 100% level or their dependents using transferred benefits were eligible for the Yellow Ribbon Program. That's a good one. I like
that.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
The Yellow Ribbon Program is awesome because, you know, it oftentimes the GI Bill doesn't cover all the tuition, and so you have state programs that step in there and pay the balance. Those are very cool.
Right.
Here's some number four. Some college degrees in science, technology, engineering, and math fields take longer than 4 years to complete, which is why the new law authorizes an additional year of school. GI Bill funds on a first-come, first-served basis. Scholarships of up to $30,000 will be available for eligible GI Bill users in August of 2018. That's good, yes.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. The VA will measure eligibility for benefits differently. I don't want to talk about that. Reservists can count more of their service toward. I don't want to talk about that. Housing stipend will decrease slightly. The government will pay for expansions represented in the Forever GI Bill through a 1% decrease in housing stipend.
Hey, when is this Forever GI Bill going into effect?
Oh, hold on. He just signed it. I want to say he signed it today. 2017. I would say over the course of the next 12 months.
And is he going to go for the GI? Did this year, John? One knows, one doesn't.
They should check it out. He just signed
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so Joe Miller, if you're listening, you're not doing a good enough job.
They don't know.
You need to put another program on a computer.
Here you go. Yeah, another non-combat related administrative requirement.
Yeah, the NBC officer knows more than the person. Because he's just, remember, what's an NBC officer doing war?
Nothing.
Whoa.
Benefits can be transferred after death. A provision of the new GI Bill offers more flexibility with the transfer and distribution of benefits in case of death.
After death?
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. If a dependent who received transferred benefits dies before using all the benefits, this provision gives the service member or veteran the ability to transfer remaining benefits. Okay, that should have been done a long time ago.
Yeah, why it was not done, if the service member died, the benefits didn't go forward. They ended. That's asinine.
Yeah. So I think overall this is a new GI Bill.
Find them up.
Yeah.
Be all possible of those.
Yep. Here's a question. The new weapon sounds like a good one. I still don't understand why the Commandant is prohibited by law in terms of buying them. I don't understand what the gunner's saying. Mike, explain the prohibited by law piece.
It doesn't matter if he wants them or not. It's a contracting law. So, I mean, so it's a fair and open competition that went forward. So HK won the competition under protest, but still won the protest and won the competition. So in order to go out and do it again, you'd have to open it up. But HK would have to win it. And the thing would be, you'd have to rig it in order for HK to win it, because it doesn't matter. So the problem was variables. Variables are weighed differently when it comes to whatever you're trying to get. So there could be 100 different variables. One of them is accuracy. The other is magazines fitting into the magazine well. Does it fit on a rack? I mean, so many different variables.
All right.
So, but they all, some of them carry, like, accuracy had the same weight of, does the sling work, the current sling work on the other sling? They were the same. They're measured exactly the same. So if accuracy failed on one, but the sling was great, then it could go forward of the other one. So it was asinine. But what happened was a miracle happened, and HK won on all because they were that good. So in order for it to happen again, people will be ready to go, and you put the thing in, and you would get kind of what you got now, but, you know, with some cheaper stuff, you know, you would have basically what you have now, but with, you know, like the Japanese fenders on a car to make it look, it doesn't go faster, it just looks like it goes faster, you know.
So what's you know, the, I don't understand the law piece. So what part is it in?
There's a congressional law. I'd have to read it to you. I'll go up and pull it. I still have my books from Acquisitions 101.
Right.
And how they do when we talk about when we do open fair competitions.
Right.
And we do the bidding and everything else, and then everything goes into show selection and that yada yada yada. That shit top secret. I mean, that's like top secret shit. You can't even discuss what's going on because. Because if one person is even perceived to get a better explanation on their gun or a better treatment, then every other person can protest that it wasn't a fair competition.
All right.
So everything's got to be perfect, laid out perfect. You know. So I'll go back and I'll. Pull it up tonight, and then I'll have it for you, and I'll read it for you verbatim 101. But it's a constitutional law. It's a congressional law that's put into place on how the government acquires anything.
Okay, so I still don't get how the law prohibits the Marine Corps from getting more of them.
I know. I have that written at home. And it pertains to exactly the HK.
And so the law... outline the number of units that would be sold, and we just can't say, hey, instead of 10,000, we want 40,000. We can't do that?
You can't increase the numbers. You cannot increase the numbers.
God almighty. So,
whatever numbers were set. There's that.
So
it's stupid, Max. But we're talking about the government.
Yeah, I know. No, let me tell you, when I got elected, you understand why the bid process is what it is, right? It's got, and there are things, because the government's involved and because people have messed with this system and it leads to corruption, there's a very specific reason why we do it a very specific way, which is to prevent corruption. And so, by 1 o'clock, not 1:01, but by 1 o'clock on this date, you have to have these documents in an envelope. You have to have your business name on the outside and a contact person on the outside. If any of that fails, you're out. Yeah, this bid's disqualified. This bid's, and that's how they do it. They just start throwing stuff away. They look, sorry, and they say, "What happened?" Like, "Hey, you didn't have your name on it. You didn't have your contact person on it." What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a $15 million. You're bidding a $15 million mill and overlay of some street, and these different firms bid on it, and you open it up, and it's got to go to the lowest the lowest bid. And you have very little leeway. You have some if you believe that the quality of the work or there's some other mitigating factors. But other than that, the bid gets awarded that way.
Let's piss off some of the Army guys listening right now.
Why?
What is the most coveted patch that an Army soldier can wear on their uniform?
The combat infantryman vest.
Their combat patch. What patch would it be? A, an Army unit, or B, a Marine unit?
Oh, they like their Marine unit stuff.
Yeah, they do, man. And here's one right here today. It's wearing a 2nd Marine Division patch on her right arm.
Nice. They love that stuff.
Wearing it, stop it. No. And I was talking to a couple of Army guys, buddies. I asked them, I said, why do you carry that blue diamond on your red patch? And they're like, dude, you can have whatever you want in the Army, but this, we work with Marines.
I know. I remember.
Hey, can I get that on a recruiting poster?
I remember seeing it. I don't know how many days you have to be with the unit in country to have one of those. The first one I saw was in Ramadi.
90 days.
Yeah, it? 90 days in Ramadi in 2004. All of a sudden, there was this brown blue diamond patch. I said, where'd you get that? Like, oh, the Army makes it.
Yeah.
Like, really? And then, boom, slapped it on his uni. He was like, oh, yeah, check it out. All proud. Yeah. The Army likes it. They got a lot of patches. They got a lot of stuff on their unis.
Well, that's how the Army works, man. Trinkets. It's like the wishing well at Perkins. Did you ever have a Perkins when you grew up?
No.
So there's a restaurant, it's a chain up in the north, and it's Perkins, and they're like, it's kind of like a Cracker Barrel for Minnesota, right?
No, I've been there.
Oh, Perkins?
Yeah.
So when you walk in, there's the wishing well.
Yeah.
And so when we were kids, there used to be like little toys in there, little stuff you could build, like a little boat or a little this or a little that, whatever. And so, but it was always the wishing well, like, hey, how do you make your kids happy? Take them to Perkins to the wishing well. How do you make the Army give them happy? Give them a pin. Give them a pin or a badge or a patch. Man, you'll captivate those guys or a rope.
They have a lot of
and
it.
And the more ropes, pins, badges, and caps and whatever doohickeys I got, and if there was no regulation, you could put it anywhere on the uniform. You wouldn't see any cloth. They'd have it on their backs. It would look like one of those deployment jackets. You know, like the Marines wear. It's got like all the years on one side and then all the places you've been on the other. And then all these unit patches. You know, they'd have patches on their back of their Class A. All the pins hanging. You could climb from the floor up on all the little subsequent badge things on the rifle. Like a little escape ladder from their pocket all the way to the floor.
Hold on, another email. Let me get this straight. The buy that we did for the M16A2 and then the M16A4, that buy could not have been upped in terms of numbers under any circumstances. It had to be rebid?
No. That actually was in the way it was written and everything else, because it was the service rifle. It was the primary service weapon. So in that, there were replacements. There were X amount, you know, hey, you got to keep the parts coming. You got to do this. Now, on the HK416, it was a set number, 37,000, and that was it. Boom, done. Dead. No more. So as they get older, you're going to have to cannibalize one to make another. So this is like any other special type of project. That's what this kind of classifies that. So it's not a program of record, meaning that it's in stocks, everything else,
right.
But there is no replacement. There's nothing replacing this.
It's just a buy, boom.
It was a buy. It was like a, here you go, here's the check. You know, nothing comes of this. I know. I like this. And then you break down halfway out, you know, down the road, and you call the dealership, say, hey. And they're like, hey, we told you. So, yeah, and that was the whole deal. You know, hey, what the hell? We want more of these. Can't have any of these. However, because there's some of it came with the fact that it was built overseas.
Right.
You know, it comes from Germany, where sometimes better products do come from, you know. And so that's the whole, you know, there's more to that story. And I'll pull all that up because I was involved in that. And I have all of that stuff. I saved all of it because I knew how stupid it was. And I knew one day maybe I was going to have this conversation with somebody. So I wanted to have a record of stupidity. And say, oh, yeah, we were stupid, and here's why.
Did you just say a record of stupidity?
Yeah. I have a lot of those. Like the path of stupidity, the cycle of stupidity. How did we become so stupid? Oh, you don't know? Here, let me show you. Let's take you on a journey. Where the first step of stupidity came from. The stupidity came out of the ocean as a single form, a single cell organism. And then it transformed. And it grew lungs. And it became more stupid. And then it took to the air because then it could spread its stupidity even further to vast areas. Yeah, I can go over that whole from birth stupidity to today's stupidity.
You have like the whole history of stupidity that you do?
Yeah, on that area. Like, why did we make this stupid mistake? You really want to? I'll show you.
Hold on, let me read your email.
Breath from the water.
Hey, Matt, congratulations. Between you egging the gunner on, I haven't even egged him on today, and the people at the idea place, he's going to have to get in his truck and go back to Wisconsin to get dialed in again. Yeah, Mike, I think you might have to get back in the truck and go back to Wisconsin.
I'm telling you, Mac, it ruined it. Wasn't the fact that I came rolling in at 1 o'clock in the morning through a huge thunderstorm through Oklahoma that almost cost my life? No, that was fun. My daughter was even in the back seat going, oh, Dad, this is cool. Ah, this is cool. You know? My wife would have been going, you're stupid. Pull over. You're stupid. Stop this. But my daughter was like, oh, Dad, you're the best driver in the world. Man, ah, this is great. You know? So by the time we roll in, like,
uh-oh. Houston, we have an issue. He muted himself. Hey, you muted yourself, dumbass. Uh-oh. Hello? Van smashes into a bunch of people in a plaza in Barcelona. There are fatalities. The people driving the van are now in a restaurant with hostages. So it goes. And the gunner's trying to get an ID for his daughter that's going to take him another 3 hours. Yeah. And he's not answering. Local media in Barcelona are reporting up to 13 people are dead. Let's not jump to conclusions, okay? And say this is more Islamic terrorism. Let's wait till we get the facts. Could be a white supremacist from Florida. Or Charlottesville. So at what point did you realize that nobody was there?
Hey, I think you muted me.
No, I didn't mute you. I'm sitting here listening. And you're
going, I had the speaker on everything. I heard you talking, and I hear myself reverbing in my own phone.
I know. But you...
You muted me.
No, why would... I'm sitting here. I'm sitting here with my elbows on my table, with my hands clasped.
And my feet on the keyboard.
No, with my hands clasped. My feet are on the floor. And I'm listening to you talk about the history of stupidity, and your daughter thinks that you're a great driver, and her life flashing before her eyes, even though she doesn't even know it.
Yeah. No, like I said, that, even all of that, then I come, I'm still in a good mood when I wake up, and then I get here, and it's like, poof, all gone. Out for nothing. Right. But this is good for me, because... You know, you come out of that euphoric state, and you feel like, man, you know what? That's pretty good. You get here, and you're like, no, this is a reminder that this is stupidity. This is how stupidity evolved over time.
The Are you excited about the solar eclipse?
Am I excited about the solar eclipse?
Yeah, it's not going to come. You're going to get about a 70% eclipse where you are.
I wish right now I had the wittiest answer to answer that in the most sarcastic way possible.
But how
ridiculous a question like that would have been to ask me. But I don't have one.
But you don't. You like science sometimes.
Sometimes. But no, I'm tired of this eclipse stuff.
Like you like Shark Week, except the whole Michael Phelps thing was pretty stupid, yes?
Yes. This whole year was pretty stupid.
Yeah, so
you know what excites me? This was the end of civilization. That we were finally done. That would be pretty exciting.
Well, let me tell you, I don't know.
August 21st. The end of the world, as we know it.
As we know it?
Yeah, we all go. Finally.
Finally. It's all this controversy going to come to an end because it's all going to be done.
Yeah, as long as we all jump together. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, you know some people won't jump. That's why they got to be in front.
That's why they got to be in front.
Because they got to get a good shove.
Yep, or they're tied to my ankle. They're going either way.
Yeah, here's an emailer, Eclipse. Tell him not to Facebook it live so he doesn't blind all of his friends. Yeah, don't.
I was telling my sister's kids, my nieces and nephews, they're funny, man. I was cracking up. And I said, hey, you know, because they're up there, they're out in Utah, and she planned a trip so they're out there so they can actually see the total 100% eclipse. They've never seen it.
Oh, they're going to go get in the strip where you can, it's 100%?
Yeah, that one that goes through Utah, you know.
No,
so it's
not in Utah, Wyoming.
Oh, Idaho, wherever it is.
Idaho.
Okay, so Idaho. But I was telling them, I said, you know, don't, even if you had a special camera lens, don't take a picture of the eclipse. Because if you don't take a picture, if you take a picture of the eclipse and it doesn't have that special filter, anybody that looks at the picture will be blind.
And what the kids say? What?
At first they just said, yeah, like, what? Are you serious? And then they caught on right away. They're like, oh, yeah, we know Uncle Mike. That guy's crazy. But it was funny. And they were like, oh, my God, this guy's out of control. I said, but, you know, that's one of those things, like I said, people don't tell you. If you take the picture of an eclipse without the right filter, and anybody looks at the picture of an unfiltered picture, it can go blind. You know, and they're like, that first, like, buying it, like, are you serious? And they kind of thought about it a little bit, and they're like, oh, man, Uncle Mike.
He's the best. Crazy. He's the best. All right, look, I'm gonna let you go. Do you guys? Can you guys? Would you lose your place if you guys go get something to eat? Because it's lunchtime there, man.
No, I went and got something to eat and then came back. My daughter stayed. Actually, I think we're next.
Ooh.
Whatever that
means, you only got another hour and a half to go.
Yeah, I think so. And then we'll get in there, and guess what? They're gonna say, "I'm sorry, you got the wrong form." And
exactly.
Then someone gets strangled, and we close the door. Walk out.
What? Oh, I'm really sorry, but yeah.
Snap!
Didn't you read it on the website? It says you have to have these three documents and blah, blah, blah. No.
Yeah. No. Well, no, the website just showed these three. Yeah, we added this fourth one last night. Oh, we're so sorry.
Yeah, sorry. You need to leave now. Move. Yeah. Watch all that.
And so you, I'm serious. You're like, and then grab snap, click. Underneath the desk, hide the person.
Not going to work.
Give me about 30 minutes head start.
Not going to work. All right, I'm done with you. I will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, man, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Hey, the Commandant's coming on tomorrow. You have any questions that I should ask him?
Ask him about the ID card thing.
He must have
why does it take 6 months to get an ID card? Not for him. He doesn't have these problems. You know that, right?
I know. He's a commoner.
He doesn't understand the level of the... Yeah, if he lost his ID card yesterday...
They'd be tripping.
He doesn't even have to go and do it. He just says to his aide or somebody, "Hey, I need an ID card." And then they take a wand and a little top hat, and they go, "Pick," and then out comes his ID card. That's how it works. Everything works for him. He doesn't get it. What? There's a line? What? You guys have to actually go through SATO and do this travel form? What? You know? Like you said, you want to solve government travel? Make a general do his own form. His own travel thing without someone doing it for him. And then on the back end, do everything. You'll solve it real quick. You know, you want to solve healthcare? Put the Congress and Senate on the healthcare program. You'll solve it real quick.
Yeah, put them on the same plan. You'll get it unscrewed in a heartbeat. But they got their plan.
Yeah.
They ain't going to be on your plan, that's for sure.
Because
you want to why? Because they want good healthcare.
Wishing the best on the rifle thing. And if you get down to Texas, give them a call. Give me a call.
All right. If you think of anything, let me know.
I will.
All right. Good luck today.
Yeah, fine.
See ya.
Perfect. Bye.
Welcome home. That is back from vacation. The one and only Michael Musselman. I didn't even egg him on. More of this program coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/marine.
Military.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. That'll do it on a Thursday. My thanks to John Allen for coming on. General type. You'll hear him in a few, little bit. If you missed him. So don't touch that dial. My thanks to Reverend Dr. Calvin Butts for the speech he gave in New York City at Yankee Stadium in 2001. You'll hear that coming up. My thanks to the Boys and Girls Choir of Harlem for the song they sang. All great stuff. So, we'll talk a little cooking tomorrow. And then the Commandant, you'll hear the Commandant on Monday. So, don't miss that. He's a great interview. And exciting that he wants to come on and talk about it. So, have a great afternoon. Remember that we're a great country and that we tend to solve all these different issues. But I would tell you this. The rule of law, the respect for the First Amendment, people got to get their shit tightened up if they don't believe in that stuff. Because that is the foundation of the democracy. Because you don't like what somebody's saying, you don't got a right to go and bust it up. So, anyway, it's the way the country works. It's the way the founding fathers put it together. Pretty good ideals, no matter what the message is. Respect for the rule of law. Freedom of speech. It's what makes truly a democracy. And again, that includes hate speech. They got a right to say it. They're America. Sad but true. Have a great day.